Nothing has been said, at least nothing I heard while moving around the tables. But I have the impression they're all feeling uneasy about what Falinar did. They haven't criticized him openly, but they're here tonight giving Renier company, he finished, showing support and indicating they saw Renier as one of their own, instead of being with the leader who hadn't taken care of an injured man. I haven't heard Renier laugh this much since before we walked into that damn spooky house. Lucivar narrowed his eyes. He hated feeling suspicious about men he liked, but the Irians hadn't made much effort to get to know the people of Riada. How much has Renier lost? And how much has he had to drink? It's not a betting game, Cyril replied. Some game called Hawks and Hares. Children's card game. Daemonar was just learning to play it. And his so-called muzzy head, which might be somewhat genuine, is a result of Janelle's healing brews. They've also sneaked him sips of ale. Not much, and within the limits Janelle told Mary he was allowed to have. He let the play continue while he drank his coffee and ate the sandwich Mary put in front of him. Then he waited until Halivar looked his way. He made a twirling motion with one finger.
"Last hand, boys,"
Halivar said loudly enough to carry back to the bar.
"We all need to get some rest."
The only man who didn't glance his way was Renier, who studied the cards in his hand with heightened intensity. It was so like Daemonar's response to the first bedtime call. Lucivar almost laughed out loud. He wasn't sure if Endar deliberately lost that round to finish up quickly, or if Cyril was right and Renier was nowhere near as muzzy-headed as he was allowing people to think. But the game ended fairly soon after, and the Irians departed, making a point of thanking Mary and Briggs for the hospitality. "Do I have to go upstairs now?" Renier asked woefully.
"It's bath night.
I don't need help taking a bath."
"No, but my boy does."
"Ah." Renier shifted his leg. Mary and Cyril rushed toward the table. Lucivar gave them both a look that had them pulling up short.
"Give the man some room," he said firmly.
Two pairs of female eyes narrowed at him.
"Ah, shit. Do not give me any sass."
The eyes narrowed a little more. "Can we get out of this room, please?" Renier asked, on a psychic thread, studying the women.
"Yes, if you make some effort."
He got Renier upright and felt those eyes watch him until they reached the stairs that led up to the rooms. Since Renier cooperated, it didn't take long to get him settled for the night. Sitting beside the bed, Lucivar called in a jar of ointment. "What's that?" Renier asked.
"Healing salve."
After putting a tight shield around his hands, Lucivar scooped out a generous amount of salve and began smoothing it over Renier's left leg from hip to knee. "I can do that."
"Not tonight, you can't. Right now, Janelle wants someone else getting a careful feel of those muscles, and that someone is me."
Renier said nothing for a few minutes, letting him focus on the leg. The ointment was laced with spells. Warming spell, numbing spell, he didn't know how many others. His fingers carefully followed the lines of muscles, feeling a ridge at the spot where they were originally severed and then repaired so many times. "Lucivar?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Is there any honorable work a young Irian male can do except fighting? Or does he have to be permanently wounded badly enough to be a liability in a fight before he can do something else without shame?" Lifting his hand from Renier's leg, Lucivar gave the other man a long look.
"Why do you ask?"
"Nothing certain, just impressions."
"You were second circle in the dark court at Ebon Askavy, and you're an observant man."
Renier took a deep breath and let it out slowly. "I had the impression that Endar was trying to find out how serious this leg injury is. what I could no longer do. He doesn't like being a guard. He doesn't like the bloodshed that comes in a fight. I gathered that's a shameful thing for an Irian male to feel. Would he fight to defend his family? Without hesitation or question. But he doesn't like it as his work, and he's afraid to say anything because he likes living here, and his wife likes living here. If someone can't offer him a way to keep his standing with other Irians, I think the day might come when he drops his guard during one of the workouts, quite by accident, and receives a blow that will make him a cripple who has to do some other kind of work. Lucivar resumed smoothing the salve over Renier's leg. Did you get any impression about what kind of work he might want to do? No. The other Irians came in at that point, and he shied away from the subject. I'm going to be looking for a teacher. Someone for the Irian youngsters. Someone who can teach them reading and writing and their sums, as well as Irian history and basic protocol. Basically the same initial education as any child in Kalir, with the history and traditions specific to a race. Yes. Fighting? Halivar is arms master. He'll take care of that part of the education. If he stays. Haven't worked out how it will be done, but it's going to be done. He could almost feel Renier putting the information together. This isn't common knowledge yet, Renier asked. Lucivar shook his head. Not for a few more days. But if a particular person were to ask my opinion about a possible alternative to being a guard? You could mention that you'd heard I was looking for a teacher. He left Renier a few minutes later and went into the bathroom. He washed the salve off his shielded hands and then, dropping the shield, washed his hands again. Then he tapped on the other door. It's open, Cyril said. He walked into her room and stopped, feeling his heart kick once. Short blades, long blades, slim blades, and double-edged. Even an Irian hunting knife she'd probably had Kolvar make for her the last time she'd stayed in Eben Rhi. Her gold-green eyes were focused on him as her hands unerringly stroked a blade over the whetstone. There was something terrifyingly erotic about watching Cyril hone her blades. You won't need those tomorrow, he said. She just smiled. Because of what he saw in her eyes, he didn't get near her. That was simply caution. He could meet her in a fight and win. They both knew it. He also knew he needed to talk to Damon very soon. He could meet her in a fight and win. But outside of a fight, he wasn't sure what to do with a gray-jeweled witch who might be drifting too close to the borders of the Twisted Kingdom.
Chapter 5 Cyril set two plates on the table, then poured two cups of coffee and took a seat. Renier studied the chunks of chicken and ham on top of a generous portion of casserole.
Didn't Mary serve this casserole for dinner last night?
It has eggs, so today it's a breakfast casserole. Toast?
Her sharp smile told him what he could do with his next comment about the casserole. He took a piece of toast and dug into his meal. They'd gone down to the coffee shop and bakery every morning, so having breakfast in the tavern's main room felt strange. Then again, a lot of things had felt strange lately. When Endar and the other Irians came to see Renier, she'd been ready to fight, almost needed to fight. But there was no reason to fight, because Endar, Halivar, and the other men had been making an effort to help Renier, working with him, even being protective of him, as he began exercising the damaged leg. Feeling easier about Renier after that first workout, she thought she'd gotten over whatever was riding her temper. Then Jillian showed up yesterday morning. The teacher was sick. School was canceled. Lucivar let the girl stay to be her partner with the sparring sticks, having Endar stand as their instructor. Nothing wrong with Endar. He was a gentleman with an abundance of patience. But she saw him raise a sparring stick and step toward Jillian, which was what he was supposed to do because he'd been demonstrating a move, and she almost attacked him, almost gutted him. She'd have to talk to Janelle before she did something that couldn't be undone. It was possible there was some unexpected residue from the poisoning. Maybe the poison and the illness that followed had stirred up memories that plagued her dreams but disappeared by morning, leaving her feeling tired and vulnerable. But today, there were simpler problems to face.
"I think we should run the tavern," she said.
"Mary is down with that stomach upset, and Briggs bolted upstairs at the first whiff of food."
"You're going to cook?" Reynier asked. "Not that you can't, but Mary usually makes a significant amount of food for a day."
"And we won't. I'll see what's left over from yesterday. We can make sandwiches, maybe a soup, and serve drinks and coffee. Anyone who wants more can go somewhere else. You could settle yourself on that stool Briggs keeps behind the bar for the slow times. I'll wait on the tables."
"We should check with Lucivar."
Reynier glanced up as the door opened.
"Go away, we're not open yet,"
Cyril snapped, without looking around to see who had come in.
"You're not open yet?"
Lucivar asked as he walked up to their table and looked at Reynier.
"And what do you need to check with me?"
"Shit, shit, shit.
Mary and Briggs are down with that disgusting stomach illness," she said. "Instead of them losing a day's business as well as feeling miserable, I thought Reynier and I could run the place for them. Well, having the two of you running things would either scare away all the customers or bring in a crowd to watch the show," Lucivar said.
Choosing to ignore him because he was right, she ate a neat bite of her breakfast.
"We could open late, after the day's training," Reynier said.
"No training today," Lucivar said. "That's what I came to tell you."
"Is there a reason for that?" Cyril asked.
"Yes, there is."
She glanced at Reynier. Something going on here, and Reynier knows what it is, or at least knows some of it.
"Marion's making a couple of soups this morning," Lucivar said. "If you bring a pot and the supplies up to the Airy, I think she'd be willing to make a pot for you to serve here."
"All right." Reynier called in a leather case, similar to the ones Damon and Lord Marcus, his man of business, used when conveying documents.
"I reviewed them and sorted them as you asked," Reynier said, "and confirmed what you already knew."
"Thanks."
Lucivar vanished the leather case and gave Reynier a sharp look.
"Damon should be at the keep by now. He and I have something to discuss. Then he'll be coming here to talk to you."
"Why? I haven't done anything to annoy him."
"I know you haven't," Lucivar said.
"I haven't done anything either," Cyril said primly.
"Don't push your luck. You, I'm not sure of."
She laughed, more to encourage him to leave than because she was amused. The moment he did leave, she leaned toward Reynier.
"What's going on?" "He's been flying all over the valley and hasn't been focused on any of the workouts except yours."
"And yours," Reynier said.
"He flies around the valley all the time, keeping tabs on the Rylander villages and the Irian camps."
She shrugged that off.
"This is different. Obviously, he asked you to do some paperwork for him, quietly. And now Saadi has arrived for an early morning meeting. And Marion is making a lot of soup, which means she wants something easy that she can offer to a lot of guests."
They studied each other. She didn't want him to break a confidence, but she'd seen the same thing he had during the workouts over the past couple of days. The Irian males around Riata seemed to be dividing between two leaders, instead of understanding that there was one leader and his second in command. Let's just say, for now, that it's a good thing we'll be running the tavern for Marion Briggs, Reynier said.
So we're all going to find out today?
Yes.
Well, won't that be interesting?
Lucivar watched Damon tap the thick stack of contracts back into a neat pile.
When it was just me and the Rylanders, I knew what I was supposed to be. I stood for blood law and honor. I drew the line and defended it. But this...
He blew out a breath.
I'm not sure about this.
Damon poured himself a cup of coffee from the pot Draka had provided.
You are making this difficult, Prick, when it's really quite simple. You're the Warlord Prince of Ebon Rhee. You rule this territory, and now you're going to fulfill one of your obligations to the Irians who live in your territory by completing the last step in the service contracts they signed with you. And Lucivar, you still stand for blood law and honor, and you're still drawing the line and defending it.
Even today?
Especially today. Once you make your announcement, you'll have a good idea of who is staying, who is going, who you can trust, and who should never see your back. The ones who think you're a good leader and want the kind of life and community you're offering will be pissed off when you toss these papers at them. They'll be the first to want to talk, and they won't be polite.
Irians rarely are, Lucivar said with a grim smile.
That's the first group, the equivalent of your first circle. The second group is going to be shocked by the possibility that they'll be cut loose and might have to serve someone who isn't Irian or go back to Tyriel. They'll realize they do like it here and want to stay, and they'll make some effort to prove it to you. There also will be the ones who aren't ballsy enough to come to you personally, but will seek advice from someone you trust. The women will be different, Damon continued. They'll come to your home when they're fairly sure that Marion will be around. Easier to talk to you there. Again, the ones who want to stay will make an effort to talk to you quickly. Even the ones who don't want to work for you, but want to stay in Ebon Rhee will come and talk soon.
If they want to live here, why not work for me?
Damon looked amused and exasperated.
Some of them might prefer to pay you a tithe and run their own business, and possibly make a better income than what you can provide. Do you resent Mary for running her own business and paying a tithe instead of working for you? No, but she doesn't pay a tithe to me. She pays it to Lady Shane's court.
The point, Damon said pointedly, is that Mary and Briggs don't serve in anyone's court. They work for themselves, because that's what they want to do. When it was put that way, he wondered how many of the Irian women had been waiting to be safely cut loose in order to try out their own ambitions.
After my chat with Reynier, I'll come back to the keep and be available if you need any help.
Thanks. Lucivar blew out a breath. Guess I'd best get on with it.
Good luck, Prick.
Leaving the keep, Lucivar flew to the communal airy. He'd spent the past couple of days looking at the Irian camps, or, in the case of the women, the settlement tucked low in the mountains near Down. He'd looked every man in the eye, as he would if he was deciding if a man was an ally or an adversary. The women were harder, because most weren't easy around men, but he'd gotten a sense of them too. There were some men he hoped would stay, and some he would encourage to leave Ebon Rhee and go all the way back to Tyriel.
Reynier studied the Warlord Prince of Demlin and wished he had some idea what Damon wanted to discuss.
Not much use to him, am I?
Damon had been paying for his living expenses since the night he'd been injured, but he couldn't expect Saadi to carry him forever. Didn't want to be supported forever. He just didn't know yet what he could do to earn a living.
Lucivar says the leg is healing, Damon said. That's good.
I guess it took me a while to understand some things. that pity can be as crippling as a physical wound, for one thing. And after being shown what he had survived, I understand why no one gets pity from Lucivar.
And now that you understand those things, you're ready to work on healing?
Yes.
What about other kinds of work?
I haven't been useful lately, he admitted. Damon raised one eyebrow.
Oh, Lucivar found your assistance very useful. There is more than one kind of dancing, Renier. You learned some of those steps while working with the Coven and the High Lord. Now I'd like you to consider using those skills for me.
Meaning?
I need a secretary, someone I can trust with private matters.
Anger flashed through Renier.
You're offering me pity work?
In that Lord Marcus asked me to take pity on him and hire a secretary?
Yes.
You're an opal-jeweled warlord prince. That alone gives you weight when dealing with much of the blood. Enough weight to act as my representative at the Saw Diablo Estates or the minor Demlin courts, in much the same way that Mephis represented my father. It would be helpful to have you staying at the hall or in Halloway a couple of days a week to help with the paperwork there. But otherwise you could reside in Amdar, either at the family townhouse or in your own apartment. Although, I would prefer that you work out of the study in the townhouse.
May I think about it?
Yes, but I'd like an answer soon. I'm going to oblige Marcus and get a secretary. If not you, then someone else.
Renier studied Damon, who looked as sleek and elegant as usual, but also a little uncomfortable.
So you're doing this because Marcus asked you?
A hesitation that was too long for Saadi.
I owe him. He took a Sheltie puppy home for Windsol.
Mother Night! Couldn't he sidestep taking the pup?
Not after I tied a pretty ribbon around the puppy's neck and gave her to Marcus's daughter to play with while he and I took care of some last-minute business. When Renier finally stopped laughing, he agreed to take the job. He wasn't sure what he was agreeing to do, but he was damn sure his days would be interesting.
Lucivar watched the Irians as they entered the big front room of the communal aerie. Halavar and Kolvar entered first, followed by Rothvar, Zerinar, Tamnar, and Endar. He'd excused Endar's wife from this meeting, asking her to help Jillian look after the children who had been left at Nurian's aerie. After all, she'd hear about this from her husband soon enough. He picked up a sense of puzzlement in Halavar and his companions, especially after Irians from the northern camps walked in. But there was no wariness in the men he worked with the most, no worry that he'd found out about some less-than-honorable activity. Falinar came in with Nurian. He was full of hot impatience, likely pissed off because he knew no more than the others about why this meeting had been called, despite being Lucivar's second in command. Nurian hurried up to the table Lucivar had set up at the back of the room.
"Prince, am I really needed for this meeting?" she asked. "There are still a lot of people who have that stomach illness, and I promised the Riata healers that I would help them by making more of the tonic."
"This won't take long," he said,
and wondered if the tonic would be made after she heard what he had to say. The last group to arrive were the women from the settlement near Down. They hugged the wall, watching the men from the northern camps with an uneasiness that made Lucivar wonder if there had been visits he should have known about, or if this was just the fear that had come with them from Tyriel. He also noticed the way one of them gave Kolvar a timid smile of greeting, and the solemn, respectful way the weapons master tipped his head in acknowledgement. When the last man had stepped into the room, Lucivar called in the leather case and took out the papers. A few papers were placed on the right-hand side of the table. The rest went on the left.
It's come to my attention that many of you are no longer content to live in Ebonry, he said, using craft to make sure his voice carried to everyone in the room. And I've been reminded lately that I've neglected one duty as the warlord prince who rules here.
More than one,
someone muttered near the back of the room.
He ignored the remark, but he caught Falinar's quickly suppressed smile of satisfaction. That smile made him choose words that would act as a fast, clean break.
Besides the Irians who came to Ebonry last summer, there are a couple of you who still have time to serve on the contracts you signed with me. The rest of you have fulfilled the emigration requirement of service and no longer have to serve me in order to remain in Kalir. You are free to seek service in a queen's court or find another kind of work. If you stay in Ebonry, you will be required to pay the tithe in both labor and coin, the same as anyone else who lives here. If that is not acceptable to you, you're free to leave. You have 72 hours to tell me if you're staying in the valley I rule.
What about wages?
One of the men from the northern camps asked.
You'll receive what is due to you up to today,
Lucivar replied.
After that, my financial duty to you is done. From now on, I only pay the people who work for me. That's all. You're dismissed.
Stunned silence.
What in the name of hell are you doing?
Falinar finally asked, with lethal control.
What every other ruler in Kalir has already done,
Lucifer replied.
What I didn't do and should have. Released everyone who has fulfilled their emigration contract.
You kept us on to have cheap labor,
one of the men shouted.
I kept you on because I'd mistakenly thought you were content to live here,
Lucivar snapped.
Since that's not the case, there is no reason for you to stay, and there is no reason for me to continue to support you. And since you all did damn little to earn your keep, I wouldn't call you cheap labor.
You should have paid us more, the man argued. We're Irians, not some Rylander drudges.
Ebonry belongs to the keep, and it tithes to the keep. As the ruler of Ebonry, I received part of that tithe, which I distributed to all of you equally. What you got is the same as what I kept for myself. Are we clear on that? I shared with you what came to me from this valley. Since what I can give you isn't enough, you need to look elsewhere.
Look where?
Falinar asked hotly.
Do you know how many Irians are struggling to survive because the Queen severed those contracts? Probably every Irian who had refused to see that the Shadow Realm is not Tyriel, who refused to see that the Queens are not going to bend for a race that is coming in from another realm. If you want to live here, you adapt to the way the Queens rule Kalir, or you end up dead. The bitches you all ran from are gone, purged from the realms. If you don't like it here, go back to Tyriel. If you don't like the way I rule Ebonry, then leave.
Lucivar paused, tightened the leash on his temper.
I've said all I have to say. Now you all need to decide what you're going to do.
I'm not going to pay a tithe to that half-breed bastard,
a rough voice said. Lucivar focused on the sound. The man thought he was hidden well enough by the crowd? Fool.
Pay him to live here,
the man continued, laughing harshly.
He should have been grateful that any of us were willing to take a shit in his little valley.
That's enough,
Halivar shouted. No room to maneuver for a one-on-one fight, and there were women in the room who could get hurt. Not that there weren't other ways to kill a man. One blast of Ebon Grey power would burn out the bastard's mind. But that wasn't the Irian way of meeting a challenger. Lucivar whistled sharply.
Yes, that's enough.
He pointed at the man.
You, get out of my territory,
and take everyone who feels the same way with you."
The man looked around at his comrades.
"You think you can take all of us?"
Lucivar laughed, and noticed that the men who had seen him fight turned pale. Thalinar, on the other hand, looked thoughtful, which was something he wouldn't forget. His gold eyes swept from one end of the room to the other, and he nodded as he saw what some of those men no longer bothered to hide.
"I've marked you," he said softly. "You're no longer welcome here. If you try to stay in Ebon Rhee, then you're nothing but walking carrion, and you won't be walking long. Now, all of you, you're dismissed."
The women from the settlement fled. So did the men from the northern camps. Halivar and some of the other men who lived around Riata lingered until a sharp look from Thalinar made them retreat, taking Nurien with them.
"Don't you care at all for the Irian people?"
Thalinar asked, as soon as they were alone.
"I care as much for them as they care for me,"
Lucifer replied.
"I don't want to stomach being your second in command if you're going to rape Irian traditions and then ignore what Irians need on top of it."
"Fine. You're no longer my second in command."
He saw the shock in Thalinar's eyes.
Why the surprise?
Thalinar should know him well enough not to call his bluff. He'd let the other warlord prince assume the role of second in command because it was a duty worthy of Thalinar's power and caste. And while it had often been useful, he hadn't needed someone to help him rule the valley.
"But if you accept the other duties Andalvar left on your shoulders when he returned to the darkness, you do need someone you can trust to look after things here when you have to be elsewhere, when you have to stand as the warlord prince of Ascavi."
Not something he would say to Thalinar, not something he wanted to think about right now, and nothing he wanted said out loud. Not yet. The day he acknowledged that he was the warlord prince of Ascavi, that Andalvar had made it clear to the queens in Ascavi that the demon prince had a successor, that the Ebon Grey would continue to defend not just the keep's territory, but all of Ascavi. The day he acknowledged that, there would be nowhere in Ascavi for the Irians who didn't like him to go.
"Well," Thalinar said, "will you release me from my contract? If you want to return to Tyriel, I can release you from the contract," Lucivar said. "If you want to remain in Kalir, you have 3 more years to serve. With you, a queen who wears darker jewels than you could take the rest of the contract. There is one Rylander queen who wears the red. She's the only other choice if you want to stay in Ascavi."
She had always been gracious to him when he'd visited, but the Irians she had allowed to serve in her court to fulfill emigration requirements had tested her tolerance and her authority once too often. And judging by the look on his face, Thalinar already knew enough about that queen to know she wasn't going to offer another contract to any Irian.
"You're going to destroy us," Thalinar said. "I didn't ask you to come here. I just offered you a place that was as close to the land you left behind as you'll find in Kalir. I told you 2 years ago that if serving me was going to be a bone in your throat, you should take one of the other offers you'd received. Sounds like you're choking on that bone, Thalinar. But at this point, you don't have many choices besides me, not if you want to stay in Kalir."
Giving Lucivar a look filled with bitter anger, Thalinar turned and walked away. Lucivar waited a minute to make sure he was alone, and would be alone for a little while. Then he rubbed his hands over his face.
"Bastard,"
he called on a psychic thread.
"Prick, are you okay?"
Everything he needed was in his brother's voice. Love, acceptance, and a willingness to kick him in the ass when he needed a kick.
"Yeah, I'm okay. It went as well as you'd expect. and there are a few Irians who may be seeing hell soon if they don't get out of Eben Re.
If it comes to that, I'll go with you to deal with them, Damon said. I'd suggest taking Cyril to watch your back, but I think she's a little too eager to use a knife right now.
You felt that too?
Yes. I'm just not sure why. I'll ask Renier. He might know.
Unless she attacks someone, let it go for a day or two. I've already stirred up enough people.
All right. I'll be at the keep if you need me. Lucifer broke the link between them. He'd stay at the communal area for another hour, so he would be easy to find. If there was an Irian anywhere in Eben Re who wanted to find him.
Falinar found Nurian in her workroom. The ingredients and tools were set out on the large table in preparation for making more of that damn tonic, but she just stared at them.
"Do you see now?" Falinar snarled. "Do you see what he's really like? He doesn't care about the Irian people. He doesn't care about our traditions. He doesn't care about anything but himself."
"He cares about the people in Eben Re," Nurian said. "All of them. He doesn't divide people between those who have wings and those who don't, like most of you do."
Falinar took a step back.
"Like most of us do? You're Irian, too."
She looked him in the eyes.
"But not like you, Falinar. I don't think I'm the same kind of Irian as you or those men who spoke out today."
"They said a few things that needed to be said," he snapped.
"If you ruled this valley, would you divide the tithe evenly among every adult Irian?"
she asked. "Of course he wouldn't."
"Couldn't.
But Yaslana's family had more wealth than even an Aristo like him could imagine. Lucivar could afford to be generous, could have afforded to give them all a bit more, even if it had meant tapping into the Saw Diablo family's pockets."
"There's no proof he shared as much as he got," Falinar argued.
"He said it. No other proof is required."
"You're being a fool, Nurian. We could be the dominating presence in this valley, the same as we were in Tyriel. But Yaslana keeps hamstringing us with every decision he makes."
"The Rylanders were here before us," Nurian said. "You're talking about doing the same things we hated in Tyriel, about becoming the same kind of monster as Prithian and the queens who fawned over her."
"How dare you!"
Remembering what it was like in Prithian's court, he swung. He tried to pull it back, and that took some of the force out of the blow. But the flat of his hand cracked across Nurian's face. They stared at each other.
"Nurian,
get out of my home," she said quietly. "And don't ever come back. You're not welcome here. Not in my home, and not in my bed."
"Nurian,
stay away from me and my sister. You stay away from us, Falinar."
"Is that what this is really about, that I strapped a little sense into your sister for her own good?"
Nurian looked sick.
"Hell's fire. It had been only a couple of light blows. Just a warning. He'd told the little bitch to keep silent. Looked like she had."
"Stay away from us!"
Nurian screamed.
"Nurian?"
Jillian hovered in the doorway with Dorian behind her. He left. Wasn't anything he could do until Nurian calmed down enough to listen. Lucivar had hoped Halivar would return. But the first person to storm back into the communal area was Nurian. He felt her anger and distress as she strode toward him, and figured he was the cause of both. Then he saw the mark on her face, and the heat of fury burned over his skin. He swung around the table and headed for the door to explain a couple of things to Falinar. Maybe the bastard wouldn't feel so much contempt for the Rylanders when he had to ask one of their healers to set the broken bones in his hand.
"No.
Nurian made a grab for him as he passed her, then skipped back a step. Stung by that instinctive move of fear, he stopped and waited.
"You're not going to do anything about this,"
she said, waving her hand at her face.
"That will be true when the sun shines in hell,"
he replied, trying not to snarl. A woman who had been hit by a man didn't need another one snarling at her.
"I didn't come here for that. Let it go, Prince."
He'd hit women, and he'd killed women, but he'd never raised a hand to one unless she'd hurt someone else first.
"Was this the only time?"
he asked. She nodded.
"And it will be the last."
He studied her. Something there in her eyes. She might have forgiven Falinar for one slap, especially today. But not more than one. And not...
"Jillian?"
he asked.
There it was.
That flash of anger that told him what had pushed this woman to draw the line.
"Strapped for her own good,"
Nurian said bitterly.
"Maybe it's the first time here,"
he thought.
"But you've both felt the kiss of leather at some point, haven't you?" "You say what you want, Nurian. Then I want Jillian to report to me here. Is that understood?"
He saw her anger crumbling. Not surprising. Healers didn't look for a fight unless they were fighting for someone they were healing.
"I knew my service contract expired, and I should have said something."
Nurian's voice sped up, so the words tumbled over one another.
"But I thought, since you didn't say anything, that you were satisfied with my work, and the contract could just continue." "All right, I know contracts don't just continue, but I wanted it to. I want to live here, Prince. I want to work here. I can be the healer for the Irians in Ebon Rhee, and help the Riata healers so that I do enough work to earn my keep. And I want Jillian to live here. She can fly around these mountains or go down to the village on her own and be safe. You don't know how much that means to me, how much that means to her. And I know it's because of the way you rule this valley. I don't much care about Irian traditions. I want what is here for my sister. I want it for me. And I want Jillian to have the weapons training. She's always been intrigued by weapons. She's always tried to imitate the moves she saw the men performing."
"And gotten strapped for it?"
Lucivar wondered.
"And now she has a chance to learn."
Nurian raised her chin and almost looked him in the eyes.
"And I want to learn too."
Surprised, he rocked back on his heels.
"Why?"
She blushed and no longer even tried to meet his eyes.
"Your wife is graceful,"
she mumbled.
"I think so. What's that got to do with weapons?"
"It's the way she moves. The way the training..."
Halivar would shit rocks if he heard that a woman wanted to learn to use the sparring sticks in order to be more graceful. On the other hand, Irian warriors were graceful, more so than most of the Irian women. He'd initially insisted that the women learn to use weapons so that they could defend themselves sufficiently until help could arrive. He'd eventually stopped insisting, after so many of them whined about handling weapons that shouldn't be used by anyone but an Irian warrior. Personally, he didn't care why they wanted to learn, as long as it helped the women acquire skills to protect themselves. Convincing the other men to accept this renewed female interest in weapons might be a bit more difficult.
"You want to work for me?"
he asked.
"Yes."
No hesitation from her, but he felt a slight hesitation that compelled him to say,
"You working for me won't sit well with Falinar. Not after today."
She looked sad, confused, sorry.
"I love him. I do. But he comes from an Aristo family, and I don't. And that seems to matter to him more and more." I don't know what he wants from his life, but I'm sure he and I don't want the same things anymore.
All right, he said gently. Once I know who's staying, we'll figure things out. Until then, get some rest.
She sniffled once, then squared her shoulders. I have some tonics to make.
He waited until she reached the door. Send Jillian to me.
Seeing the momentary slump of her shoulders before she hurried out, he smiled grimly and thought,
Hoped I would forget, didn't you, witchling?
Then Halivar, Kolvar, Rothvar, and Zarinar walked in. And it was time for the next dance. A shadow, a flutter of air, the sound of boots behind him. Startled, Renier stopped his careful walk down the street so that he wouldn't take a misstep. Prince Renier? Leaning on his cane, he looked over his shoulder and smiled. Lord Endar, could I talk to you?
I need to walk to the end of the street to fulfill the day's exertions. I could meet you back at the tavern when I'm done, or at that coffee shop across the street.
I don't mind walking.
A few minutes is too long to wait.
All right. It took a few steps before Endar matched his pace to Renier's careful walk. Then,
have you heard what happened? Yaslana cut us all loose. We've got nothing. I have two children, and now we have nothing. I'm not sure if we're still allowed to live in our Eyrie, or if we have to leave because all the Eyries belong to him.
Wondering whom the young warlord had been talking to, Renier said,
The way I understand it, the emigration contracts were finite, a set time to prove that the person coming to Kalir could adjust to living in the Shadow Realm. Just like any other contract. Each side fulfilled the length of time and the terms. Then the contract ended. You all knew this day was coming. That's not the same as being cut loose, Endar. When a contract ends, a man is free to negotiate another one with the same person or head out and try something new somewhere else. Maybe you're used to staying with one court forever, but I know plenty of young men who take short contracts and then move on to another court, or even another territory. They gain polish and experience, and spend a few years looking around while they decide what they want to do.
But I'm Irian, and Dorian and I don't want to live somewhere else. We like it here.
Then talk to Prince Yaslana. Tell him you'd like to stay in Eben Rhi. If you're interested in working for him, tell him that too.
But
Endar said nothing until they reached the end of the street.
Every Irian male is trained to fight, but not all of us are good at it. And those of you who aren't good at it are usually the first to die on the killing field, Renier thought. Not an easy truth for a man who loves his wife and children.
I'm pretty sure Rothvar and Zarinar want to stay, and if they do, Yaslana won't want to hire someone like me as a guard, not when he could have them.
Then offer to do some other kind of work, Renier said. He stood at the corner, debating with himself if he wanted to cross the street and go up to the coffee shop, or just turn around and go back to the tavern.
Coffee and sweet pastries, or soup?
I'll have the soup later.
As he shifted his weight to take the first step into the street, Endar said, Take my arm to steady yourself. Despite what some people say, there is no shame in accepting help.
There is no shame in being something besides a guard, Renier said quietly.
What else could I be?
Does their thinking get stagnant because they're a long-lived race and have so many years ahead of them?
I don't know. But I've heard Yaslana is looking for a teacher for the Irian children. Someone who has the education to teach them the basics, as well as Irian history.
Irian history?
The words were barely loud enough for Renier to hear, but that didn't diminish the excitement in Endar's voice.
I've also heard that an Irian historian storyteller has recently come to the Dark Realm and is willing to teach someone what he knows before he becomes a whisper in the darkness. Renier continued. There was so much wanting in Endar's face, it was painful to look at him.
I'm not old enough, Endar said. And I'm sound, so...
I don't recall Yaslana mentioning anything about age as a requirement, only a specific amount of education, Renier said tartly.
And I don't recall him saying a man had to be lame in order to teach.
If anything, I would think you'd need some speed and agility to keep up with the children. Lucivar isn't chained to traditions that don't suit this territory or this realm. If you want to pass up work you'd enjoy because you're young and sound, that's your choice. But Lucivar is going to get a teacher for the children, and he's going to give someone the opportunity to learn from that historian storyteller. You have to decide if that person is going to be you. They stopped in front of the coffee shop. Endar stared at him. Then the Irian warlord smiled.
Will you be all right finishing your walk alone? Endar asked.
I'll be fine. What about you?
Will you be fine?
The smile brightened.
I think so. I have to talk to Dorian. But I think we'll all be fine.
A two-fingered salute. Then Endar stepped into the street, spread his dark wings, and flew home. Renier watched the Irian and began to understand what Damon meant about a different kind of dance.
Lucivar? Renier said on a psychic spear thread.
Renier?
Endar needs a little time to talk things over with his wife. But I think you'll have your teacher. One more down, Lucivar thought as he leaned against the table and watched Jillian shuffle toward him. He'd ask Damon to go over Endar's credentials and suggest what the warlord needed to add to his own education to fulfill the requirements of the new position. If Renier's impression was correct, and Endar had more book learning than most Irians, the man would suit the job, at least in terms of temperament. He'd confirmed that when he'd had Endar act as instructor to Cyril and Jillian. He pointed to a spot in front of him that, to a young girl's eye, would look like she was out of reach. She wouldn't be, not with his speed and reflexes, but he thought she'd feel more comfortable with a little distance between them. He closed his hands over the edge of the table and waited until she stood in the required spot.
"You got strapped," he said.
"Yes, sir," she mumbled.
"When?"
"Couple days ago."
"How bad?"
She shrugged.
"You didn't let your sister check your back for injuries?"
She shook her head.
"Did you go to another healer in Riata?"
Another headshake.
"Wasn't supposed to tell."
"Then you don't know if you're all right."
She squirmed and kept her eyes focused on his boots.
"Tamnar looked at my back. He said it wasn't bad, and none of the marks were close to my wings. He said he'd gotten worse."
Something Lucivar would discuss with Halivar. As far as he knew, the old arms master was still giving out the slaps that were meant to sting pride rather than injure flesh. He'd gotten his fair share of those in his youth, so he had no problem with that bit of discipline. But if someone else had been doing more here, in his valley...
"Did you deserve the strapping?"
Lucivar asked mildly.
"He said I did."
His breath caught. That tone of voice should not come from a girl Jillian's age. That level of hatred should not be in a girl Jillian's age. She should not have experienced anything that would put a knife edge in her voice. Because he knew two women whose voices sometimes took that same edge, and because he knew why that edge was there, he had to ask.
"Jillian, are you a virgin?"
Her mouth fell open in shock, and because of her silence, the word rape hung in the air between them. She hadn't been broken. He was sure of that. Janelle and Cyril hadn't been broken either by the violence of rape. But they both carried emotional scars.
Jillian?
She didn't answer. Then she jumped when the wood cracked under his hands.
I am, she said quickly. I am.
He released the table and stood up.
If I ask a healer to look at you, will she tell me the same thing?
Yes, sir.
Thank the darkness for that. He'd been rising to the killing edge, and he took a moment to pull back and regain control.
All right, Witchling, listen up. You are going to school. Maybe with the Rylander children, maybe not. But you are going to school. Weapons training will be considered an extra. As long as you keep up with your studies, I will see that you get training in bow, sticks, and knives. You shrug off one, you lose the privilege of the other. We clear on that?
Yes, sir.
Next, you do not get strapped by anyone but me. Ever. If someone thinks you've misbehaved to the point of deserving it, the charge will be brought to me. If I decide you do deserve that punishment, I will wield the leather. We clear on that too?
Yes, sir.
If someone else tries to strap you or hurt you in any way, what are you going to do?
Kick him in the balls.
Lucivar blinked, swallowed a tickle in his throat. Damn tickle. Felt like a laugh.
After that.
Jillian pondered for a moment.
Come to you?
That's right. Although you might consider just getting away and coming to me first. If he deserves it, I will hold him while you kick him in the balls.
She gave him a bright smile. Probably thought he was teasing her. Probably just as well to let her think that.
Anything else I should know?
He asked. She shook her head.
Does this mean Nurian and I can stay in Ebon Rhee?
That's what it means. She's going to work for me as a healer and...
And I can work for you by helping Marion take care of Daemonar.
He laughed.
Fair enough. Now get home before your sister frets about this chat.
Yes, sir.
A bright smile, clear eyes. Didn't take much to set Jillian's world right and give her a sweet wind under her wings. He would do his best to make sure things stayed that way. Cyril cleared the table and stacked the dishes on a tray. The tavern didn't open until late morning, but apparently these two men came in once a week at this time to have a quiet breakfast of whatever was available while they talked business for an hour. They'd been startled to find her instead of Mary, but they were quite happy with the casserole, chicken, and coffee she put on the table. And even though they kept a running tab here, they'd left a generous tip. She wasn't sure whether that was to thank her for letting them have the breakfast, or for not tossing them out in the snow. Smiling, she set the tray on the bar, took a step back, and extended her arms. Her body flowed, slow and easy, in a series of moves she'd seen Janelle make with practice sticks no longer than her arm. This wasn't training for an Irian weapon. These moves belonged to the Dia Alman. As she completed the last turn, she saw Falinar watching her from the doorway. What was he doing at the tavern? He knew she was staying here, so unless he was looking for a ripping fight, why in the name of hell would he come to see her?
Every time you pick up an Irian weapon, you mock my race, he said.
My skill with weapons was one of the things that used to intrigue you, at least until we got better acquainted. And here I thought I was just honing my skill with a knife. Besides, those moves weren't created for an Irian weapon.
She swung herself over the bar. We're not officially open yet, but I can give you a cup of coffee. He walked up to the bar.
I suppose you're pleased with what happened today?
She filled two mugs with coffee.
The gossip hasn't reached me yet, so I don't know if I'm pleased or not.
Lucivar is pushing the Irians out of Ebon Re.
All of them? Or just the ones who think having a cock entitles them to food, shelter, and sex whenever they want it?
Anger flashed in his eyes. She sipped her coffee and watched him.